Shalom, this is Alex Israel from Alon Shvut, and recording this for Eretz HaTzvi. And this is the third and final part of our podcast for Parashat Korach. And we're going to look at Perek Yud Chet, which deals with Matnot Kuhuna. And I think we might have already mentioned this methodological point, but if you look at Sefer Bamidbar, you will always find that the mitzvot of the Sefer are intertwined with the narrative. Let me try and explain. You know, there are two sort of genres of literature in the Torah. One is narrative. For example, Sefer Bereishit is all narrative. It's stories. Likewise, the first half of Sefer Shemot. You also have legal segments, like Parashat Mishpatim, more or less like 95% of Sefer Vayikra is legal, is law. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, and it gives a law. There are times, however, that we get a couple of chapters of narrative followed by a chapter of law. A few chapters of narrative followed by a chapter of law. And probably the best example of this is indeed Sefer Bamidbar, where in Bamidbar we tell a story and then suddenly launch into a series. Sometimes it's quite perplexing what the common factor is between all the different halachot which are mentioned. But there is a interspersing and a sort of dialogue going on between the narrative sections and the legal sections. Parashat Korach is a perfect example of this, because of course in Parashat Korach we have a challenge to the leadership, and not only a challenge to the leadership of Moshe, but a challenge to the leadership of Aharon HaKohen. And of course, the 250 people who bring the Ketoret seem to think that it is wrong to have a particular caste, a particular group, who are just Kohanim, and that all of them should be able to become Kohanim. Moshe gives them the test. I'll tell you what, you want to be Kohanim, bring the Ketoret, and they all die. This challenge to the Kohuna, where there is a sort of call for democratization, for egalitarianism, whereby anybody can be in the service of God, has really put a challenge to this whole concept of Kohuna. And therefore it would seem like when we open Perek Yud Chet, Perek Yud Chet, chapter 18, is dedicated to all of the gifts of the Kohanim, to the role of the Kohanim and the Levi'im, and really sort of reinforces and restates their position. And this could not have been said more powerfully than Rashi, which you'll find in Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Chet. Va'ani hinei netati lach b'simcha, says Rashi, mashal le'melech shenatan sadel ohavo. A king once gave a field to his friend. V'lo kata v'lo chatam v'lo he'la be'erka'in. But he didn't sort of record it. He didn't sign the document. And he didn't register it in the courts. Ba echad v'ir er alav. But somebody came and challenged the ownership of the king's friend over this field. Ba echad v'irer alav v'ala sadeh. Challenged the ownership, challenged the field. Amalo ha-melech, kol mi she'yitzei yavo ya'arer l'negdecha. Anybody who wants to come and challenge you, hareini kotev v'chotem lecha u'ma'aleh be'erka'in. You know what I'll do? I will write a bill of sale or a bill of transfer, and I will sign it, and I will register in the courts. Afkan, lefi sheba Korach ve'irer keneged Aharon ala kuna, because Korach and his group came and challenged Aharon over his rights to the priesthood. Ba hakatuv v'natan lo chaftalet matnot kuna. The psukim come and give him, or register, all the 24 benefits of the kuhuna, all the 24 gifts which are given to Kohanim. So when we look at chapter 18, which closes our parsha, it essentially makes up Shishi and Shvi'i, we do understand that this is a response to what was going on before. But I have to say, it is a response in even a further way. One of the claims of the group of Korach is that the Mikdash is too dangerous. If you read the last lines of Perek Yud Zayin, after already Korach's been swallowed up, the 250 men killed, a plague by the Ketoret, etc. Vayomru B'nei Yisrael Moshe, Lemor. B'nei Yisrael said to Moshe, Hein gavanu avadnu kulanu avadnu. We're all going to die, we're all lost. Kol hakarev hakarev al Mishkan Hashem yamut. Anybody who goes anywhere near the Mishkan Hashem will die. Ha'im tamnu ligvoa? Have we stopped? Have we finished dying? In other words, we have a situation in which people are saying that the Mishkan is too dangerous. Anybody who comes close to the Mishkan is going to die. Now, the truth is, this has already been told in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Hey, when they made the covering for the altar out of the firepans of the 250 men, it said, Zikaron livnei Yisrael aman asher lo yikrav ishzar asher lo mizer aharon lahaktir ketoret lifnei Hashem. This should be a reminder to Bnei Yisrael never to approach the temple in order to bring the ketoret. But it would seem as if the people are beginning to complain. They're saying, don't go anywhere near the Mishkan. It is too intense. Don't bring korbanot, you're just going to end your life. And now we understand why we need the chapter 18. And maybe I'll read a few lines from here, Perek Yudchet. Vayomar Hashem el Aaron, ata uvanecha uveit avicha itcha, tisu et avon emigdash, vata uvanecha itcha, tisu et avon kunatchem. You, Hashem says to Aaron, and your children will carry the sin of the Mikdash. You and your children will bear the sins of your priesthood. And he then continues and says that the Levim will join you, v'shamru et mishmeret ohel moed, l'chol avodat ohel, v'zar lo yikrav aleichem. You, together with the Levim who will help you, will ensure that no non-Kohen, no non-Levi will approach the Mikdash. And it continues with this theme word of Ushmartem et Mishmeret HaKodesh, but Mishmeret HaMizbeach. Mishmar means a guarding. V'lo yiyeh od ketzef al b'nei Yisrael. There won't be any more anger over b'nei Yisrael. This word ketzef was used earlier in chapter 17, verse 11, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, in order to describe the plague which had come by complaining to God. And now he's saying over and over again, the Kohanim are going to be the servants in the Mikdash, the Levim are going to be the guards in the Bet Mikdash, so that there won't be anyone from Bnei Yisrael who will die as a result of the Beit HaMikdash, or at the result of the Mishkan, so that people can't say what they said in the last line of chapter 17, chapter Perek Yud Zayin, Kol HaKarev HaKarev al Mishkan Hashem Yamut, Haim Tamnu Ligva. Yes, indeed, you will stop dying. Why? Because the Kohanim and the Levim will guard the Mikdash. Here we discover a third very important aspect of these chapters. And that is that the role of a Kohen and a Levi is one of duty, not one of rights. It is one of responsibilities, not privilege. It is a life of service rather than a life of glamour or of leadership. In other words, what Korach had said was, Rav Lachem, you've taken on too much, or you're receiving too much. Lamatit nasu al gahal Hashem. We're all holy. Why are you lording it over us? And here you see what their role is. The Mishmeret HaKodesh. They are there as the guard. They are one of service. And one of the most powerful ways in which this manifests itself is this. In ancient societies, the Kohanim were always the landowners. If you go back to Sefer Bereishit in Parashat Vayigash, you might remember that it says, Rak admata kohanim lo kana, that when Yosef was buying up the lands of all of the Egyptians, he did not purchase the lands which belonged to the Kohanim, ki chok la kohanim mei paro, because this was a law from Pharaoh. V'achlu et chukam asher natan lehem paro, paro gave them their food, al kein lo machru et admatam, therefore they never sold their land belongs to them. Here, in our parsha, the Kohanim are given exactly the opposite deal. The Kohanim are actually not given land at all. What happens? Let's read the Psukim. It says, Vayoma Hashem pasperet yudchet pasuk chaf, Vayoma Hashem el Aharon, ba'artzam lo tinchal. You won't have a nachala, you won't have a portion in the land of Israel. V'chelek lo yelecha botocham, you won't have an ordinary portion of land amongst the tribes of Israel. Why? Ani chelkecha v'nachalatcha b'toch b'nei Israel, I am your portion. And later on, in regards to the Leviim, once again, Ki ma'aser b'nei Israel ashirim u'lashem truma natati l'Leviim, I have given the Leviim the ma'aser l'nachala, that is their portion. Al kein amarti lahem b'toch b'nei Israel lo yinchanu l'chala, and that is why they don't have land. The Kohanim in a Jewish tradition do not own land. This is so that they will not be occupied with farming, but they will be occupied with the religious work that they have. The Netziv in his Perush stresses the degree to which a Kohen is on call, and that if a Kohen has somebody who tells him they need something to be done, a particular korban to bring, he has to take personal responsibility to do that. But it's going to work like this. The Kohanim are meant to do the service of the Mishkan. They're meant to engage in their holy work. And in response, they get certain gifts from the sacrifices themselves, and also Truma and Maaser. Of course, if the Kohanim don't do their work properly, in other words, if they neglect the Mishkan, then they will not get their Truma. And therefore, this is a direct way of ensuring that the Kohanim live up to their mission, live up to their responsibilities, live up to the legacy which they're given. Because only if they do responsibly run the Mikdash will they then be given their Truma. And only if the Leviim are seen as loyal servants of God will people continue to give them Maaser. A great example of the reverse of this we find in the book of Shoftim, where we find many examples in the latter chapters of Leviim who are wandering around looking for employment. Why would a Levi need to be looking for employment? Doesn't he receive Maaser? But clearly people saw that the Leviim weren't living up to their role, they weren't teaching Torah, they weren't acting as religious officials. So if you see the Levi who's just living as an ordinary individual, people would stop giving him his Maaser. If he's not receiving Maaser, then he's out of a job. Now he needs to go and look for other gainful employment. So we see that Hashem has created a system here whereby what is driven home to the Kohanim, and hopefully what the rest of Am Yisrael see, is that the Kohuna is not a privilege. It is not a simple set of gifts. The Kohuna is not something whereby, for example, you are given land for free by the king. Instead, you have no land, and your prime responsibility is to serve Hashem. Again, this is the notion of responsibilities rather than rights, duty rather than privilege. And when they see that, hopefully, as the Parsha says, all the complaints against the Kohanim will end. So this explains the role and the texture of chapter 18, Perek Yud Chet, which is Shishi and Shvi in this Parsha. Since this is our last podcast for the week, I'll wish you all a Shabbat Shalom and see you next week.